TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Ukraine and Israel in Wars. Comments by former CIA analysts Larry C. Johnson and Ray McGovern. Interviewed by Judge Andrew Napolitano. They comment on unexpected developments caused by the Biden-Trump transition. Judge Napolitano served as a New Jersey Superior Court judge and as legal analyst for Fox News. After his career in TV, Napolitano started his own YouTube show, Judging Freedom. In late 2024, it had almost 500,000 subscribers. CIA analysts Larry Johnson and Ray McGovern are in the large group of former intelligence professionals who are regular weekly commentators on foreign policy for Judge Napolitano. Here is the November 29, 2024 Intel Roundtable on Judging Freedom, hosted by Judge Napolitano.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. And this is your Intelligence Community Roundtable with my dear friends and colleagues who always do double duty, Ray McGovern and Larry Johnson. Gentlemen, welcome here. Always a pleasure. Sorry to intrude on your Thanksgiving weekend, but much appreciated. Larry, to you first. Have the Russians issued some sort of a warning to the military or to people in Europe that something significant may soon be flying through the atmosphere?
Yeah. Apart from Putin last Thursday saying that if there are any more attack them, storm shadows, scalp missile strikes into Russian territory, that Russia would strike back immediately, that they would warn the West where they were going to hit. They would give them some time to evacuate personnel. Putin smiled when he said this. You won't be able to stop it. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. Today at the United Nations, Ambassador Polyansky, the deputy to Nebenzia, he spoke and he said basically to the West, he says, we warned you. You've asked for it and you're going to get it. I mean, it was that clear, that direct. So the result of the last two days of attack of missile strikes into Russia, in the Kursk region, Russia last night issued a NOTAM, which is a notice to airmen warning, closing off the airspace around the military base where the Oreshnik missile was launched last Thursday that destroyed the Yuzmash plant in Dnipropetrovsk. And, you know, Russia's going to do it again. They're going to strike back. They're going to hit a military target, most likely in Ukraine. It may be a joint NATO-Ukrainian military target, but they're going to hit it.
Why does the, Ray, why does the West not take Putin seriously?
Judge, that's a really tough question. Russia is just a gas station posing as a country. They use dishwater ports to build their ICBMs. You know, Russia has been so marginalized and denigrated by the Western media that I think that privileged people like Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan tend to believe their own propaganda. And this drives Putin crazy. Let me inject one note of danger here. We have all been saying that, as Larry, Scott, myself, and others, that this is the most dangerous situation having to do the possible nuclear exchange since Cuba, okay? Why do we say that? Well, Lukyanov, the research director for Valdai, he said today in something published by the Russians, he said this, look, the absence of a secure back-channel communication mode is what's different, okay? Yeah. Both sides now face greater pressures to act. Both sides. Okay, got that? This increases the danger of an accidental escalation as leaders may feel compelled to carry out their threats in order to maintain their credibility. The breakdown of private diplomacy and the rise of public threats have made the nuclear balance more precarious than ever. If the current trajectory continues, the risk of escalation will only grow, and the stability that once existed during the Cold War may seem like a distant memory. This is big. I thought there was a channel like that between the Secretary Austin and Belousov, his counterpart in Moscow. Apparently, either the U.S. has unplugged the end of our end of the communication, or they've told Austin, no, don't talk to Belousov anymore. In other words, Lukyanov, who is well informed, about as high as you can go in that kind of official, is saying, look, that's the difference. That's what makes it really perilous. And both sides, like the Russians as well as the U.S., might be tempted to go ahead and do something really stupid just to maintain their credibility.
Here's the reference that Larry made to Putin smiling. Cut number one.
The Oreshnik missile system isn't simply an efficient hypersonic weapon system. Thanks to its power, particularly in the case of its massive use in combination with other precision long-range weapons that Russia has, the results of its use against enemy targets would be comparable in effect and its power to strategic weapons. Although, in fact, the Oreshnik system is not a strategic weapon. In any case, it is not an intercontinental ballistic missile. No one in the world has such weapons yet, as we know, as you know. Sooner or later, other leading countries will also get them. But this will not happen tomorrow, or in a year, or even 2 years, while we have this system now. I will add that there are no means of counteracting such a missile. No means of intercepting it. In the world today, they don't exist. In addition to the Oreshnik system, several similar systems are currently being developed in Russia for further testing. Based on the results of the testing, this weapon will also go into serial production. That is, we are developing a whole line of medium and shorter range systems.
The new missile could be fitted with nuclear and conventional warheads. It can reach targets across the entirety of Europe.
Why doesn't the West take that seriously, Larry Johnson?
We have what's called confirmation bias. We have decided that we know best, that our understanding is superior, and that we've indulged this nonsense that Russia is using computer chips from washing machines and refrigerators. You know, our refusal to take Russia, to take Putin at face value. He is not your typical Western BS artist who will say and do anything. He's not Joe Biden. He absolutely is parsimonious with his words, and he always says what he means and means what he says. And the nice thing about this is it gives Russia a way to respond without having to go nuclear. But as Putin correctly noted, this has the characteristics of a strategic weapon. When he says strategic, he means nuclear. So it's sort of like a nuclear weapon, but it comes without the radiation and without the blast effect. However, they can add that to it if they want to. It is a most formidable weapon system. And as he correctly stated, the West has no answer. So we're going to see another demonstration here. And when it happens, maybe the West will finally pay attention, much like the Japanese did after the bombing of Nagasaki.
Ray, does American intel know what is coming next, when it's coming, and where it's going?
Generally speaking, the answer is yes. And Putin himself, in talking with Western journalists in 2016, talked about, we know when the next missile that fits into those canisters or those capsules in Romania or Poland, we know when they'll reach 1,000 kilometers range, and on these nayuchtom, and they know what we know. We know that they know. All right. So it's come to a pass where, the word checkmate, the word game changer, Now, in the Bronx, I never was smart enough to learn how to play chess with the Jewish kids in my neighborhood, okay? But I did play checkers. So, but I know what checkmate means, okay? Problem is that Bleakden and Sullivan, they don't think anything about this, okay? It's time to fold them. And to use the checkmate analogy again, there's a socially acceptable way to lose, okay? You resign, okay? You say, okay, the game's over, I'm going to leave. That's when you're checkmated. There's no indication that even though Sullivan and Blinken know chess, no doubt, there's no indication they know when to fold them. So that's what's perilous about this.
Okay.
Bottom line, just to inject a note of caution here, I think Putin, well aware of all this, is incredibly sang-froid full, okay? He's not going to be provoked in the next days before January 20th. I think it will not rise to the bait when he has these weapons and when he has the initiative and is all just about to conquer the rest of Ukraine. So I think that's going for us here. He's not going to try to do something really stupid unless he's really provoked, and that provocation could be if the Ukrainians use these missiles on something like the Kursk nuclear power station, which would yield results worse, 10 times worse than Chernobyl. They could do that.
Here's Secretary Austin. Last week, doesn't seem to be concerned about this at all. Cut number 15.
We've known for several weeks that they were revamping their policy on use of nuclear weapons. I don't see an indication that there's an imminent intent to use nuclear weapons.
Is he bluffing with this change?
He has rattled his nuclear saber quite a bit.
Larry, that is hardly worthy of the Secretary of Defense of the United States.
Yeah, he's ignoring the fact that the United States has initiated this provocation. We sent those attack of missiles 6 months ago, 7 months ago. So it's not like they were just recently sent. And all of this is, Judge, this is part of a broader, let's call it deep state operation to create chaos for the Trump administration coming in. Mm. It's all tied to the North Korean troops that don't exist. Yeah, but remember, it was David Sanger that put the CIA story out first, that they're all these North Korean troops. And why are the North Korean troops there? Because the Russians are suffering such catastrophic losses that they need the North Koreans just to hang on so they don't lose. I mean, it was all a lie. But they're using that lie to justify, well, that's why we had to tell Ukraine that they could use the TACMs, because the Russians have brought in now, it started off at 3,000, now it's like 20,000 North Koreans to fight against us. And so the lie keeps growing like a big fishtail. And this is part of a broader plan, not just confined to Ukraine. I mean, there are aspects of this plan that extend over to Israel. Notice in Syria today, these radical Islamic, Sunni Islamic extremists launched an offensive against Russian and Syrian troops. I guarantee you there's U.S. money behind that as well. So what we're seeing is a broader effort to create a grand destabilization, if they can, because they recognize Trump presents an existential threat to them if he takes office.
Here's Mike Waltz, sounding like Mike Pompeo, Larry and Ray, defending the use of anti-personnel landmines because it might stop the Russians from advancing. Cut number 17.
Well, these mines are the type that you can turn on, turn off. They're smart mines. But at the same time, it is a step towards somewhat solidifying the lines. And we also needed to stop Russian gains.
Is this the language of a representative of a president who's going to bring about an end to the war, or who's taking sides in the war and it's against Russia, Larry?
Well, no, he's taking sides very clearly. And remember, this is Mr. Hand in Glove with Jake Sullivan. That's not what people who voted for Trump voted for. They don't want hand in glove. They want their damn hand out of that glove. They want to throw that glove away. It's dirty. They don't want that to fit. No, they want a different approach. And you know, Waltz is betraying the Trump voters. And in the course of this, he's endangering America.
Here's one for you, Ray McGovern. The former director of the CIA and former Secretary of State saying, if we keep up using the ATACMS, the whole conflict will fundamentally change in 60 days. Cut number 13.
I think the missile attack at a real scale last night into Ukraine is evidence that Vladimir Putin knows that this is his maximum point of leverage, and that in 60 days, fundamentally, his leverage will have decreased, and the shaping of that conflict will have fundamentally changed as well.
What is he driving at, Ray?
That was Mike Pompeo, right?
Yes, it was a slimmed down Mike Pompeo, but radically slimmed down, but that's Mike, yes.
Yeah, well, he graduated first in his class from West Point, which kind of proves that you can get all straight A's and flunk life. I mean, he hadn't said a sensible thing in a decade or so. You know, I don't know why these people keep drumming on this. They must know better, and yet it's the party line, literally, and they got to keep doing it, and they keep asserting these things that are factually non-existent. This is not going to help Trump. The business here with Mike Waltz and so forth, you know, it really depends on whether they're loyal to Trump and how much weight he's going to throw behind his own policies, okay? Now, the ones he picked the first time, you know, first time around, they were incompetent and they were dangerous because they were disloyal. This time they're incompetent, they're not very knowledgeable, but they're loyal, okay? So what does that give us? That gives us a situation where Trump, if he decides to assert his authority, it can make it stick. And the question is, will Trump be smart enough to realize that he's got to fold the cards on Ukraine, and he's got a very weak hand, but he should play it so that the game doesn't go down the drain completely.
Tell me if this is what Donald Trump believes. Cut number 10.
I'll give one tip away that the president has mentioned. He will say to that murderous former KGB colonel, that thug who runs the Russian Federation, you will negotiate now, or the aid that we have given to Ukraine thus far will look like peanuts. That's how he will force those gentlemen to come to an arrangement that stops the bloodshed.
Thought the neocons were gone, Larry Johnson.
I mean, look, what Gorka said there is so abjectly stupid. You don't even know where to begin. For starters, the Biden administration has given the Ukrainians close to $200 billion in weapons and aid.
Right.
It's not like they've been parsimonious, you know, just saying, oh, here's a quarter, you know, go help yourself to some candy kid. We have opened the treasury to them. They've gotten every single weapon system they wanted. Like I said, they've had the ATACMS now for 6 months. They don't have the trained personnel. They've had F-16s for at least 5 months. They haven't been able to use those effectively. And the notion that he can, that there's a whole warehouse stocked with all this equipment that we just haven't sent to Ukraine. Nonsense. It's ridiculous. So, you know, there's Gorka displaying a level of ignorance that is breathtaking, not even understanding what the situation is on the ground. And that was also sort of the premise of Pompeo's comments that, the Bidens have been holding back. People pretend like the Biden administration has been holding back on Ukraine and holding back on Israel. And if we just get Donald Trump in there, the dogs will be free and they can, American military power can go to work. It is a fantasy. It's a delusion. And if they follow through on it, it's going to get us killed.
Here's more Gorka, as if that's not enough. Oh, he wants to revisit what we did in Iraq. Cut number 12.
The resurgence of global jihadism. People think that it went away, but it didn't. With the surrender of Afghanistan, the disgraceful surrender of Afghanistan by Joe Biden, by Lloyd Austin, his Secretary of Defense, we have a new hub of jihadism. We left 83 billion dollars worth of weapons for the Taliban. Al-Qaeda is resurgent. ISIS is still out there, whether it's the Houthis or whether it's the numerous proxies of Iran, Hezbollah and Hamas. The threat is as great as it's ever been.
Is Al-Qaeda and the Taliban a threat to the United States? Where does he come with this? It was the Mike Pompeo who negotiated for Trump with the Taliban that freed 5,000 Taliban prisoners, fighters from jail. Yeah, the freeing occurred on Biden's watch, but the deal was signed by Trump. Ray?
Look, it's really going to be interesting how this plays out. We have Tulsi Gabbard. As long as she gets confirmed, okay, as long as she's in place, she reports to the president every morning or through her emissaries, the PDB briefer, President's Daily Briefer, which I used to be, in person 6 days a week. Now, to the degree that Tulsi Gabbard is given her head, and to the degree that she remains somewhat sane, unlike the rest of them, she's going to embarrass the likes of Mike Waltz and talk some sense into Trump.
Right. switching over to Israel, how legitimate, Larry, is the ICC indictment of Benjamin Netanyahu and the indictment of Yoav Gallant?
No, it's a solid indictment, unlike the indictment of Vladimir Putin, because, you know, Putin was not, Russia's not a signatory to the Rome Treaty, and neither was Ukraine. So there's really no jurisdiction. At least in this, the Palestinians are signatories. So they did have jurisdiction from that standpoint. And the indictment itself is very, very specific and lays it out. Look, even by Benjamin Netanyahu's own words that were recorded by when he was interviewed by William Buckley back in 1986, where he defined terrorism by his own words, Israel is committing terrorism against the Palestinian people. It is the deliberate use of violence against civilians for political purposes. That is exactly what's taking place in Gaza. That's what's taking place in the West Bank. And that's what's taking place in the neighborhoods in Beirut, Lebanon.
Do you think he was forced into the Hezbollah ceasefire because the IDF is taking a beating in Lebanon and he doesn't want the public to know that?
Is that for me?
Sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is, they declared victory and going home. They said, oh man, we beat Hezbollah. Well, they haven't beat Hezbollah. And when you go back and read the Israeli, or try to read the Israeli press on this, and I'm talking about Haaretz, Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post, and Ynet News, over the last 2 months, it's been like Helen Keller was their universal reporter, saying nothing, seeing nothing, hearing nothing about the casualties that the Israeli troops are taking. Once in a while, you might get a report. Meanwhile, when you read the Hezbollah press, the level of attacks, the level of rocket intensity into northern Israel was increasing, not decreasing. And so the Israelis had to find a way out. So they've now got this ceasefire. They claim that the Lebanese military is going to keep Hezbollah under control. Not going to happen. But it gives them an excuse to pull out and pretend that, oh boy, man, we beat Hezbollah. We defeated them. And I know I'm in touch with some of these crazy Zionists. That's exactly what they're saying. Oh man, we defeated Hezbollah. They're delusional. But, you know, it seems to be a common disease running around Washington, D.C. and Tel Aviv these days.
Ray, does the American intelligence community know the nature and extent of the battle losses in southern Lebanon? Do Jake Sullivan and Tony Blinken and Joe Biden know whether Netanyahu was beaten so badly that he had to get the heck out of there? Do they know the nature and extent of his domestic political instability over the release of secret documents and intended to make him look good, and the resurgence of his criminal prosecutions?
Judge, in answer to your question, what does Biden know? I don't know what Biden knows. Biden probably doesn't know what he knows or what he doesn't know. Do Blinken and Sullivan know? Sure they do, okay? Now, are Blinken and Sullivan sociopaths? That fits people who allow genocide, okay? What does that mean? Well, they know, but they won't stop it, okay? And they don't know when to fold their cards, okay? Now, Netanyahu is in deep kimchi. I mean, he's taken on the Shin Bet. He's taken on the army. I don't know how long he's going to last. But as Larry said, he can't really claim with any legitimacy a big victory in southern Lebanon. So what's going to happen? Well, nothing's going to happen until Trump comes in, and then nothing going to happen again. So we have to get our rear ends out of our couches and make sure that we Americans don't abide people who abide by or enable or arm other countries that are involved in genocide.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you for coming on during this holiday weekend. And thank you for all the advice and analysis that you bring to the show and for all your time, particularly the two of you, because you're on with me twice a week. How you put up with Larry, I don't know, but God, thank you very much.
That's why I only lasted 4 years at the CIA. That's what they said.
I don't hear him commenting. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you on Monday at your usual times. All the best.
That was Judge Andrew Napolitano with Thanksgiving farewells to his two Intelligence Roundtable analysts, Larry C. Johnson and Ray McGovern. McGovern was a CIA analyst for 27 years, serving seven U.S. presidents, from John F. Kennedy to George H.W. Bush. He earned an M.A. in Russian language and literature and served in the Analysis Division on Soviet foreign policy. Ray McGovern became a vocal critic of the CIA over the use of torture and the spread of false information to justify the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Larry C. Johnson worked at the CIA for 4 years as an analyst, then moved to the U.S. State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. In 1993, Johnson left government work and appeared on TV programs such as The News Hour and Larry King Live. Thanks to Judge Andrew Napolitano for this and other extraordinary interviews on his YouTube channel, Judging Freedom. I'm encouraging you to view the interview you just heard by searching YouTube for Judge Napolitano, Judging Freedom. Larry Johnson and Ray McGovern do a weekly joint half-hour program under the title Intel Roundtable, Weekly Wrap. The conversation you just heard was broadcast live on November 29, 2024. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilardin. Thank you for listening.